You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 206. Soylent Green is Legionnaires! Welcome to episode 206 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am, well, I'm not really small engine repair lad. I'm having a little bit of a battle with the lawnmower.
Oh.
And I thought I had it all sorted out, but it still doesn't seem to be working. So there needs to be a new spark plug, I think. And if it's not the spark plug, I may as well buy a new lawnmower.
Right?
So, yeah, I spent a bit of time trying to get that fixed this weekend, and it was uncooperative because I was supposed to have a couple of people coming over today, but then they canceled anyway, and so I thought, oh, I'm going to put this away.
It's because I saw how tall your grass was.
I was just thinking, that's next week Paul's problem. So. Screw yeah. future Paul.
Wobbly, timey wimey.
Indeed. So Jan was away for the weekend out in Ottawa, so it was just the little girl and I, and
both survived.
And both of us still standing. And yesterday she actually decided to show me. I'd just been telling someone the other day that she's been working on her comic timing, you know, so when, because she's at that, you know, I can do the take a nose thing. So it's like, you know, take her nose, and then she decides she's going to take my nose, and I say to her, but how will I smell? And now she knows to say, terrible.
Terrible.
That's right. So that's my girl. So she knows how to do that one. Well, yesterday, she's like, Daddy, watch this. It's funny. And she takes a big drink of water and then does a spit take. And
I'm like, my God.
Oh my God. She's decided she's going to be a comedian.
You have given birth to the reincarnation of Lucille Ball?
Seriously.
I am thrilled by this.
Did she clean up her mess?
Actually, she did. And so it could go that way. Because the whole thing was, you know, you probably shouldn't do that. But if you're going to do it once more, I want to catch it on video. And so, you know, I was thinking that, you know, it could be the next Lucille Ball. I was watching an Amy Schumer special on the Comedy Channel yesterday. Mm. And so it was like, or it could go that way. Huh? Oh. Still making some money. Hey, I'm a big fan of Amy Schumer. Don't get me wrong.
That's not what
you want to hear your daughter saying.
Right.
that's all it is. So anyway, so that's my weekend.
Is that your weekend?
Indeed. All right.
I am Darren Noel, and I am really taking it easy this weekend, even though I've got a test on Tuesday and a project due soon, and I'm going out of town, kid. So yeah, I'm thinking the ennui gods or the procrastination gods have decided that I should worship them. So that's what I've kind of been doing, you know, just been kind of taking it easy. Either that, or my liver has decided that it is finally kind of waking up from Dragon Con again, and it's informed me that it's functioning again. So that's good.
Don't you love that his explanation of the name was actually shorter than the name?
Thank you.
Impressive.
just for Brian Nixon, right?
Exactly.
Impressive.
I'm Matt Kramer, and this week, like last week, I was barbecue boy for the last week of the season. This week, I think I'm baseball boy for the last week of the season. Headed out to two Brewers games.
Nice.
Against the Mets. They won one, lost one. So
it was a wash.
Yeah.
It's a wash. Half and half.
Yeah, they won, but they won last night too, so they're actually pulling it off. And it's like, now I think they're 2.5 games back for the wild card. It's like nothing like doing this at the end of the season. Way to go, Brewers.
Yay, Brewers.
Keep reaching that rainbow.
Everyone loves their baseball teams drunk. Yay.
Yes. Maybe next year they'll actually have some pitchers.
Oh.
They can recruit Ted Williams.
Yes, exactly.
His head can coach.
I'm not going to be able to use
Jesus.
That one.
Yeah. I have no idea what any of that means, so I'm just going to go on. I am Scott Goals, and tonight I am Landlubber Lad. Friends of mine got married over the weekend, and they did it up pirate style.
Nice.
So is everybody dressed up as pirates, or as piratey as is possible with, you know, very limited wardrobe?
Your orange beard.
I'm glad that Canada allows two pirates to get married together.
That's true. We're very pro-pirate marriage. It's, you know, if they're stealing from each other, it stops them from stealing from anyone else.
That's true.
Yeah, so it was an enjoyable affair from what I recall, which sadly is not much. I've been looking at the pictures now from last night. I'm like, what happened there? I don't remember that at all.
Was that me?
Well, I can tell it's me because I got the bright orange vest on. So
you can always tell.
I was the only orange pirate for some reason. I don't know what happened.
I don't know how that works. You're the only pirate who didn't have scurvy.
Yes, right.
There you go. None of those rickets.
Yeah.
You do with the drunken sailor.
Oh, drunken sailor is right.
Lie in the morning.
Nice. So yeah,
it's good times.
Congratulations,
like a sea shanty at a wedding.
Sorry, congratulations to
Megan Curtis.
There you go.
Ah, congrats. Mazel tov.
Indeed. Arr.
There was a lot of yar.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah. Shiver timbers.
That's a great idea though. That's
it
really
was.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. They did it upright.
Should have done that.
It's a great idea. Seriously.
Next time I get married.
I want to have exactly. A wedding just so I can go around breaking china all night.
Never mind.
Ah.
Or you can just run around a china shop.
Exactly. But speaking of pirates, as a public service announcement, this Wednesday is, of course, Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yar.
Indeed.
Isn't Thursday...
Thursday is Talk Like Someone from Asgard Day, always.
Talk Like a Space Pirate Day.
I think it's actually Hobbit, like Hobbit Day.
Hobbit Day? On Thursday? I don't think so.
Is it Hobbit Day?
The Tolkienites are on the wrong day. They need to be on a Tuesday.
Must be a Thursday.
Why it's Tuesday?
So it's not near Thursday. Because Thor's power is so great, it will fall over to Wednesday and Friday. And smite the little hobbits.
Never could get a hang of Thor's days.
Very confusing. Very confusing.
It's very simple. You just grab your hammer first thing in the morning. There you go.
Why didn't we hear about this from Tom Harris? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Maybe he's not, you know, on the job like he's supposed to be. What's up with that?
I don't know. Tom, I'm going to tell us what's going on. Yeah, exactly. Direct all misses of such a thing to Darren, even though I'm the one that brought you into this.
Address all complaints to Miss Jane Foster, @marvelcomics.com. Thank you.
Indeed. So this is a little bit late, but I'm not sure if they run it until... actually, probably as you're hearing this, the sale may be over. But they, over the weekend, Comixology ran a 99-cent sale on Legends, and that of course includes the Cosmic Boy miniseries.
Yes, it does. I got mine. Did y'all get yours?
I didn't.
No. Not to mention the first Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. But that's in the trailer. That's
someone should so do a Suicide Squad podcast.
Indeed. right after they do the Last Resort's Andre Brower podcast.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, but anyway, yeah, I'm trying to remember now if that appearance is because I know, it's the Secret Origins appearance that's in the Suicide Squad trade.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of Suicide Squad, as we were.
As we are often
as we
to,
are often want to podcast. Do. I finally actually got caught up on the current run. And I know that I had said that I wasn't crazy about the first issue. But I read like 4 through 12.
Wow, that's quite a chunk.
Last weekend. Yeah, it is. And so I sat down and read them all in one chunk, and it was awesome.
Yeah, liking it more, aren't you?
Really, really enjoyed it. You know what?
I was with you. I hated that first
that
issue.
That first issue, it felt all torture porny and everything, but they so moved beyond that really quickly and got back to the part that I like, which is the, bad guys double crossing and all that kind of stuff.
And Amanda Waller blowing up their heads. And
oh, seriously, right? So, yeah. No,
team members eating other team members. Ew.
He got better.
He got better. He became a little bit of shock poo.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm glad they showed that off panel. Thank you.
Yes. Oh man. So yeah, I've been there's a few series that I had just kind of set aside while I was reading other stuff and so last weekend I sort of chunked through that one and quite enjoyed it. And I've been reading a bunch of the Zero issues this past weekend. Yes, including at least one in which it's not an issue number, it's a rating.
Oh, God. We'll get to that one, folks.
Yes.
Guaranteed laughs,
yes,
from us. Guaranteed laughs from us. You hold on. We got some words for you soon.
Yeah. So anyway, at any rate... Yeah, there's been. I think the Zero issues, much like any of the stuff, has it's been somewhat uneven. But some of the good ones have been good. The bad ones have been very bad.
Mm-hmm. Snicked, I say, sir.
Snicked.
And I
let
got to
snick it.
Actually, mm-hmm. Last night Ella and I were gonna have movie night, and so at first it looked like Friday night we watched Ratatouille and it looked like last night it was going to be Up because it's a movie about balloons.
Oh, and, I can't watch Up. It makes me cry like a
well,
biatch.
That first 10 minutes just kills me.
And oh my God. I'm a baby.
I was actually getting a little worried about watching it with her because it was just, that bit gets to me. But as it was, she changed her mind, and as we sat down, I said, okay, so are we going to watch that? And she goes, no, I want to watch Superman. So I gathered out all of the different iterations of Superman that I've got. Like, I'm talking like, okay, here's Christopher Reeve. Here's, one of the, the Superman Batman movie. Here is some of the Superman, the animated series. Kept going through it, and she goes, no, the Superman with Bouncing Boy.
Aww.
So we watched volume 3 of season 1 of the Legion cartoon last night, mm-hmm. Which included, of course, the Subs story and the Sun Eater.
Mm-hmm.
And so we watched all of that and loved it. And but yeah, now when she says she wants to watch Superman, that's what she means. And and so yeah, we watched that. Yeah, hey, okay, if we must.
Okay, yes. twist the arm.
Yeah. And what I love is that the one Legion character that she's really glommed onto is Bouncing Boy.
Say what you want to, but the kids love Bouncing Boy.
Absolutely.
They love him.
He inflates himself. She thinks he's the coolest ever. So yeah. Yeah, so she liked that, and I think which other one did she like? Oh, and she really liked Infectious Lass.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's funny just the things that she picked up on. So, so there you go, some Legion content. And of course, as we mentioned, the Legend series, which may be over, but the Legend stuff will still be available, and I'm betting they're not gonna go too high on a lot of those minis because that's some old stuff.
Yeah,
and
they'll probably stay at 99 cents for a while.
Yeah,
for a while.
And I think they're up to issue 14. Last I checked, on 5 years later, so still worth checking out with that stuff. So you get that full first arc and the their State of the Universe afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And still great stuff.
Yes, it is. Excellent stuff.
So last week we covered issue number 12 of Legion Lost, and
we're so happy you're still with us today.
Indeed. And this week we catch up with the good book. I believe I did that one. So who wants to do issue 12 of Legion of Superheroes?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I'll do it real quick. Let's do it. Let's do it real quick.
Yeah, you do it.
Let's do it. I'll do it. So, I will tear the Dominators a new one. Don't you worry, guys. So we're the Dominators in the 31st century, and there's like a big feast. Turns out it's the Legion who's about to be L-ed up by the big mojo-looking dude, who's apparently the one in charge because, well, they've gotten all the DNA that they need from Brainy, and really the others don't really matter so much. Unfortunately, they have once again managed to underestimate Miss Nuranal, who, thanks to her training from Karate Kid, is able to escape her bonds. And because I had someone ask me, how did Dream Girl get out when none of the others could? It's like, because she was trained by Val Armor. Thank you very much.
Right.
That is canon. Thank you. So,
super karate, super teaching. Oh,
So Dreamy gets out of there, and she starts kicking some butt, and she goes after arguably the most powerful other person there to get them released, and she goes after Duplicate Damsel. Because what do you need when you're up against an army? Oh, look, another army.
How do we do it?
I love that.
How do we do it? Volume.
Volume, volume, volume. And one of the lore news... Gets Chuck out of his bonds. You know, I think they've done this before, folks. There's a little come hither look in that
it's
upper
that
panel there.
That knowing look, yes. Here we are again, huh?
Yeah, I remember this. Yes, the safe word is domination. Yes, it is. Okay, so
right now.
Then Bouncing Boy inflates up, and he goes after them like a Goodyear blimp.
Speaking boom, of boom, volume, boom, yeah.
I know, right? And they're about to release Comet Queen, and Brittany's like, no, we need to know exactly why she betrayed them. We can't just let her run loose while, you know, we're trying to fight for our lives here.
Yeah.
And so the Dominator in charge of this whole gene splicing program is like, I must give birth to the new creation now. And the new creation comes out looking like kind of a it's very reminiscent of the orc birth scene in Lord of the Rings, you know,
yeah,
like
really
coming
is.
Out of that. Like, ah. So he's all teeth and super heroine, hero-y.
Super
and he's
heroine?
Got some kind of, yeah, well, you know.
That's a great power.
Super heroine. Yeah. Makes Sid and Nancy look like substitutes. So he's got this weird symbol on his head. Ooh, take a drink. Ultra Dillinger just made an appearance.
Yep.
So here we are. They're trying to figure out what this guy is. They're thinking it might be part Daxamite, part Kaluan. And that's not good. And so Dreamy's trying to wake up Tom, and Tom's like, oh, wow, man, that beer, wow. It's like Scott on a Sunday at a con. So the woman who is...
People in glass houses, Darren.
Now, usually I'm on my knees. So, you know, I'm not...
Me now.
There's
not beer he was chugging.
No, it wasn't beer. And protein shakes. So, Itaki... is right there, and she's like, oh, this newborn kid doesn't know what he is. And he's not a kid. He's a full adult size. He's very confused, and so they're putting
he's
together
like
a plan. Yeah, he's like brand new. He's tabula rasa. Ooh, go look that up. And so Brainy's like, ooh, Minjane, which sounds like, you know, the sequel to Jumanji, but really it probably isn't.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not sure how you would pronounce that. Do you leave the M in? So is it Mwindaji? Mwindaji.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
And so we're looking at a whole bunch of things here, and then, oh, well, the Legion doesn't have their stuff together enough time because this new super-powered clone thing just slams into them through a table. Basically, it looks like it knocks out a couple of them.
Yeah, nothing like a Daxamite powered thing that has no sense of restraint.
Yeah, exactly.
He's spilling the coleslaw all over the place. Look at that.
Oh no, not the coleslaw. I was going to eat that.
Ridiculous.
That's horrible. And it looks like Bouncing Boy is swooshing up towards his mouth, doesn't it? But I never found evidence of him dying at any point. So,
well, no.
I think he's way in the foreground and. Bouncing Boy.
Yeah,
sort of
but you're right. The perspective looks odd because, yeah, we've already seen the scale of this guy. And though he is very, very large, he's more large in a Jabba the Hutt kind or Mojo kind
exactly.
of way.
It just looks like Bouncing Boy is about to come a snack and be devoured in the pit of Sarlacc for thousands
Bashuda
of years.
Bouncing Boy.
Indeed, yes. So the guy who's the DNA Splicer is quite proud of his creation. And we cut back to Legion headquarters, which now has 5 prongs on it. I guess that's what we get in the reboot, as opposed to the 3 it's had originally.
Oh, that, yeah, before. Good point. I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, that's very bizarre. Mm-hmm. So we also, for those of us who are longtime Legion fans, we have some new holo symbols, if that's what those are supposed to be. It looks like some boys stayed the same, but Polar Boys is now kind of a bizarre chevron of an ice badge, which he's had before, but it didn't look like that.
Kind of a shield.
Yeah.
And Phantom Girl now has the circle with the stylized P on it again, like she's right now. Stop it. On her belt. And same for Shady. She's got that symbol with that kind of Umbra-like Swoosh. F on
it. What's interesting is that we're used to the other ones being framed within a square as well. Mm-hmm.
True.
And these seem to be sort of more free-floating, and they're rendered as three-dimensional images as well. So. Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to put together a plan because obviously diplomacy is not working at this point. And Kaz and Mon-El are at odds about things. And he's like, we've got to figure out a way to show the council that the Legion's been kidnapped by the Dominators and how to do that. Well, Kaz is like, well, maybe magic can help. And that gives Mon-El an idea.
That's right.
I like again what they're doing here with the basically they're giving Portela a break.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing
freeing him up on a couple of pages, so they get the fill-in artist to do a different scene. So and even then, it's not
as jarring. Yeah,
it's not jarring at all. But yeah, making it be a different scene, you know, it makes that flow a bit better because you're mentally prepared for a change anyway. But mm-hmm. the way this is inked and colored, it is still really consistent with the way the Portela stuff is, mm-hmm. and so it. Yeah, it doesn't jar at all, and I kind of dig it. I kind of like
the only beef I have with it is if you have to put Mon-El in a scene, which I guess you have to, whatever.
Oh Jesus!
Does the epaulettes or the things that hold up his cape, the clasps, they should be way bigger than that. I hate when they're so small and
you know what? It looks weird. There is one definitive image of Mon-El, and it is the cover of the issue with the
Legion issue 4.
And those things are big.
I like him to have the big Doctor Doom style.
At Dragon Con, the guy, his name is Charlie, who was playing Mon-El at the Dragon Con photo shoot, mm-hmm. Legion, he was constantly fiddling with those things because they kept wanting to ride back on his shoulders. I need to pull these forward. They're messing me up. So it's a big hassle wearing those things, I can tell you.
This cape looks very, very movie Batman-ish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
a
good point.
Yeah, you know where it's not so much a cape. At least at the top, it seems to be a bit of sort of an armored shoulder pad that goes into a cape from there. And I'm totally with you on that, Scott. It's like I say, there's one definitive image of Mon-El. Every Legion artist should just have it like posted on their wall.
Yep.
Well, you know, make the Who's Who Bible so everyone can see what it's supposed to look like. Indeed. How difficult is that? Come on. Anyway, though that's me being
very
a biatch again.
Very.
Okay. So apparently it's very difficult to do. Anyway, so asking for it for 5 freaking years. Anyway, fanboy rage.
Damn. It's here, okay. Darren. It's here.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll talk about that too.
No, we won't. No, we won't because that's not worth talking about.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yes, next week.
Or whenever we get
to it. We're back at the Dominator's homeworld, and Brainy is formulating a plan. Meanwhile, Duplicate Damsel's getting the arse kicked out of her by this Kryptonite dude, and you can't really say that she was equipped to. She's got the numbers, but she has none of the strength that's needed to take him out. So,
yeah, he's basically doing the spin around and punch him all in the face.
Pretty much, yeah. So Brainy's coming up with a plan, and it's saying, Tom, it's up to you. And Nora's like, but no, that's way outside of his limits. He can't do it. And basically, it turns out to this is our only chance. And so Nora's like, okay, we've got to do it. And Nora says to Otaki, broadcast confidence to him if your mind sense works that way, child. Child, wow. How old is Nora?
It's Queen. Okay. Wow. Alexis Carrington, what the hell's going on here?
I know, right? And I would like to say that I love it when I get a Rocky Horror Picture Show moment in book. Because if you dream it, you can do it. It's true, folks. It's true.
Don't dream it, be it.
I just love that the Dynasty reference was Scott and not Darren.
Right?
Wow. I know, right? So they're trying to take out this dude, and they finally get him taken out thanks to all the science stuff that Brainy pulls.
Yeah, science.
Science! Oh, I did it. Wow. Uh-huh. What does that mean?
What do we do?
Does it count if he does it? I don't think it does. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Fine.
Stupid.
So,
science! There
you go. Yay. Thank you. Yay. So they're trying to get everything taken out, and when Johnny is actually doing a pretty good job slapping these other Dominators around, I got to give him points for that. So they're trying to figure out how to hold on to this guy while they've got all these other Dominators to deal with. And we get a scene change.
Oh,
and they are at the counselor of the United Planets. And you have no real evidence the Dominators are holding your comrades. You know, it's very Star Wars Episode 2 or something.
Oh, totally. Totally.
I know.
There are some tax issues.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's taxation. Is all I ask is that you believe the evidence of your senses, and in pops the head of Sensor Girl. Hello.
Oh, yeah, Sensor Girl.
Gotta love that Jackie comes back when she's really needed, and I love that. And she's like, gentlemen counselors, you remember me from my time with the Legion and my right to speak at council as ruler of Orando. So I ask you to see my friends as I see them on the far world of the Dominion and see their suffering. And she pops up the picture of Brainy and Dreamy being attacked by all these things, and then she says farewell. Boom, baby.
That's right. I just like that we've it's total mic drop. I like that we've just brought Jackie back into it. So yes, she's not forgotten, because
not forgotten, and I love that. So
yeah, we need her back. We need her back.
And the guy says, quite upsetting, Legionnaires, if true, we shall have to, our experts, examine the testimony and ensure there was no trickery or even honest error before authorizing Asakali to war. And Monel's like, take all the time you want. We've given you the evidence you wanted. We're going to get our friends. And Monel and Ultra Boy zoom off. Meanwhile,
back at the ranch,
Otaki managed to figure out that the ones in their cells are okay if they stay dormant. And Duplicate Damsel's like, oh, if they don't wake up, they're not dangerous, huh? Chuck, never mind the trogs. Knock over the tree. why not? And he goes ricocheting pinball wizard style. Boing, 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 boing.
Oh, yeah.
I half expected to see some of these guys go tilt. And he whams into this big phallic symbol here. I'm not sure what's...
Wait, a phallic symbol in a Dominator's
Dominator storyline, yeah. No, and it goes, creak. Oh, take a drink. Ka-thump.
Oh, yeah.
And the DNA Dominator goes, no. And Mojo Dominator says, enough.
Basura.
The Dominator has that long
and
this experiment, and you and the DNA Dominator goes, I abase myself. Are over. Aye. And someone became dinner. It just wasn't.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah,
I love that panel. Just with him framed by the teeth.
Mm-hmm. And Starboy's like, can I stop now, Nora? I'm tired. He's like, you have to hold on. I think we're still in trouble. Never let go. Never let go. And before you know it, we get some really bizarre panels going on here with this Dominator Kaluan Daxamite hybrid here going after Tom, and before he can get his do any real damage to Tom, Monel grabs him by the hands like, I think we've about had it with you. I almost wanted to do the Shatner thing. I have had enough of you. And so Monel and Ultra Boy show up, and Brainy's like, actually rather later than I expected. What kept you? It's like, don't keep me, you know, upset about the bureaucrats. Mono's like, take the cruiser, get the hell out of here. Joe and I will take care of the rest of them. And Otaki's like, the training holos do not do him justice, girl. Mm-mm. And dance, careful, Otaki. Your mind sense is broadcasting rather loudly.
It's saying, oh, chicka, wow, like wow.
But you know, he is unattached.
That's right. He isn't attached now. Ooh, now there's an interesting moment, isn't it? So you never earn places with heroes like that. Johnny is what I'm talking, saying, I am ready to return to the academy. And Dooley Dams is like, you did well, both of you, or you'd be dead. Some of our graduates have done well, Daenerys.
I love that look on her face when she says, "The or you'd be dead."
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because she knows.
Well,
and
yeah.
And she comes back and she sees they've taken Comet Queen with them, and she's all wrapped up. And then she says, and then there's you. Why, Grappa? Why?
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, I notice also in that image that that they've gone back to drawing her with the different colored irises.
Yes, as she should be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very cool. That was a great ad from the Archie Legion as well. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Looks like
very cool.
Looks like in that last panel, Grappa's gonna get dextered.
Yeah. Someone's gonna get a bloodletting.
Pictures all stuck up all over the place of all the legionaries she betrayed, and then
yep.
It's all set. It's on like Donkey Kong.
A little shrine to her chubby.
Yeah.
Lornu's gonna lay down some plastic wrap and
take her out.
Damn.
Don't you get after her man? Hello,
Comic Queen.
Exactly.
How's she gonna become legionary?
So there
now?
You go. I give this one 2 Clordneys up.
Whee!
It was a nice ending to the whole thing, and I hope that's a little bit.
Well, because I think we're gonna head into Fatal Five territory soon.
Exactly,
or not.
I'm waiting for.
Yeah, because that's already been kind of laid down, right? And I'm just trying to find the.
There's more of it coming if you see the Legion issue 0. There's a little Fatal Five action in the preview there, folks. Not gonna tell you who, so.
And it's a flashback, right? So,
yes.
What did you know when we talked to Paul Evans like a couple of years ago now about?
We need to talk to him again.
We do. We really do.
Come on.
But when we talked to him about his year one story in Adventure, one of the things we asked is, you know, so are you going to be planting some seeds to pick up on later on? And he goes, of course. Why would you do something like this if you weren't going to do that? And so we know we're going to get some stuff set up for this Fatal Five arc in that story. So that's cool.
Agreed.
Looking forward to that. So let's take a quick look at Legion solicits here because. Second.
Legion solicits. Hey, oh. Sailor, you like a Legion?
Excuse me.
We love you long.
Legion long time.
Oh my. All right. So and I love that we're still getting Steve Lytle covers on these issues.
Yeah. Steve Lytle covers.
Beautiful. And so next issue we start seeing Scott Collins. He will be doing the interior art. So I guess that's like 13, 14, and 15. And so looking on the cover of that issue, we've got it's really hard to tell at that size who's who here. But it says the Legion take on space pirates.
Take
a drink.
Space pirates.
Meanwhile, rumors concerning the Fatal Five start to spread.
No.
In the next issue, Legion 14, of course, we get some Element Lad action. Element Lad tries to take Chemical Kid under his wing as they both go after the mercenaries that injured Cosmic Boy. But both Legionnaires soon find themselves in over their heads. Meanwhile, Brainiac 5 tries to discover what caused their teammate Comet Queen to betray the Legion to the Dominators.
Wait, hold on. Brainy's going to be doing some mental work on Comet Queen?
Oh, I bet he's going to take out some old circuitry.
This could go badly, people. This could go badly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Someone better call Tenzel up real quick and get him
and
the miracle
say,
machine.
I kind of dig that. But I also like the, you know, because we haven't seen Element Lad and Chemical Kid in a few issues.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And
it is
for that. It is. And I also, you know, the idea of them facing some space pirates. I mean, that's some old school Legion stuff, right? Of course, we do want to see them facing up to supervillains, but there are precious few at this point in the future. And I wonder, and we've had the Legion of Supervillains in the last run, admittedly, but, you know, so I don't expect to see them for a while. So it'll be cool to see the Fatal Five coming in, and because that's been far too long.
More villains.
Exactly. And I know that, you know, in interviews, Levitz has said many times that creating new villains isn't really his forte. He's done interesting things with the ones that exist.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think that's something that we need a bit more of. I mean, who would you like to see on the villain side of things? Who would you like to see show up?
I would love to see Grimbor come back.
No doubt.
You would.
I would. I thought, you know, someone who can trap the entire Legion would be a badass. Someone who can nullify their powers and lock them down forces them to be able to solve things from a mental point of view as opposed to a physical point of view. So.
Well, and that's an interesting point, right? Because to me, his character was very much based on the Master Jailer, the Superman.
Oh, yeah, totally. Right?
Totally. Moosey Draper. But it was executed better. You know, the stories that we saw Grimbor in. Well, I mean, one of them was the Reflecto saga.
Take a drink. Yeah,
mm-hmm. So I'm always for seeing Grimbor. That's never going to be a bad thing. How about you, Matt?
You know, I'd like to see Dr. Mayville back.
I knew you were going to go there.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah. He likes Ike.
He does. And yo-yos does like and Ike. Dr. Octopus arms.
Not hentai again. Oh, God.
How about you, Scott?
Well, I mean, other than Ron Carr, I'd like to see somebody do a take on Ron Carr where, you know, he actually gets something done. I mean, it's very easy to play him off as sort of a joke villain.
Yeah.
But obviously, I mean, he got to be a supervillain somehow. So he must have succeeded at least once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, for me, I would like to see some of the some elements of some of the other incarnations of the Legion make their way in. I've got crazy love for a lot of the villains that they faced before. I mean, I echo what you say, Darren, with Grimbor, because I mean, it was in the Reflecto saga. Mm-hmm.
I would not mind seeing a good Mordru story again.
Yeah, and that,
because I mean, that's been kind of shoved off to the side
that's what I was kind of
a bubbling point that will be picked up at some point in the future.
Yeah,
so
I'm assuming Lorith,
you know, so
because my assumption is that, you know, Mordru is that we're gonna see the Mordru that has shown up elsewhere, you know, I mean, and in fact, Mordru has shown up in Demon Knights.
Yep. Yes.
Right. So
an excellent book, sir.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Now, there is a crossover waiting to happen.
Seriously, right?
And Demon Knights and the Legion. Oh, yeah. I would say that. I would.
Levitz and Cornell that. Working together. Come on.
Yeah. Although, awesome.
And so, which, but what I mean, say, see the because the Mordru as a part of the past of the DCU. Was more of a post-crisis thing, and so we never really got to see that explored while Levitz was still on the Legion.
True.
Because most of that was kind of put into canon as he was finishing up his run. And so you know, I look at the Mordru that came after, you know, after the crisis, and indeed, so, in some cases, after Zero Hour even, and the things that they did with him, and I'd like to see some of those elements come back into Mordru. You know, Mordru is no longer the just the sort of out of nowhere guy that you just bury and you defeat. You know, he's got a lot more behind him. He goes back way further, and he's been around as long as the DCU has been there. And so, yeah, you know, Mordru would, you know, hey, bring him in on a jet ski.
There was a little snippet of something that a certain artist that we know here and we love, Mr. Phil Jimenez, said on his Facebook feed recently, that said that he was doing some research regarding the Legion and Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Really? I saw that. I was like, really? Mm-hmm.
Really now? And I'm like, could this be kind of a quasi-sequel to the Star Trek Legion crossover? Because I would so buy it, DC and IDW and whoever else would be putting it out. So
does that mean Phil just working on covers? Because he did covers for the last one.
Writing even.
See, I would love that. I think when we had him on, I spent plenty of time gushing over his art. Because I think he is just an incredible artist, but he's a damn good writer too.
He is. And Wonder Woman art is amazing. So
I never really think of him as a writer, but I've enjoyed pretty much everything.
It gets easy to forget sometimes because his art is so good. You know, but
it does.
And especially in the cases of things that he's written and drawn. And he is primarily someone that we're used to as an artist. But yes, the things that he has written have been excellent. Mm-hmm. And he has a real interest in really digging deep into character. And, barring him doing some DCU stuff, because it would be great to see him, writing a book in the DCU. And I can think of at least a couple. And if we can't have him drawing one of them, like, is he still working on I can't remember. Like I said, I'm just useless with names tonight. The Fables book that he's working on.
I think his arc is over.
Because he was just on the first arc, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if the plan was to have him back again, like he was alternating arcs with somebody else.
You're right. That's what I'm not sure of. Like, was it just based on the characters? Because I read all my Fable stuff in trades.
I don't think that it's an ongoing story. I think it's more like collections of smaller stories. They're just using the Fables characters.
Just
so
kind
it's
of
like
set
a
in that
series
universe.
Of miniseries.
Yeah, it, that makes sense. So what was it? I'm sorry, guys. I just need to remember what the hell it's called.
Ferrest.
Thank you. Like, I can't remember anything today.
Aww. Yes, that was my wife.
Someone mentioned the Reflecto saga. Because if I'm gonna forget, I may as well enjoy it.
Indeed.
Yeah. What's anyone been reading lately that they've been enjoying?
Nothing. I only read comics I will not enjoy.
Apparently,
that's the way DC wants it. So,
Jesus.
Far be it for me to argue with them.
You're not far off the tree now, are you?
No,
I did read a good comic the other day. It was from 1982.
Okay.
Did it have vibe in it, or am I too early?
Oh no, this is going back to Marvel. This is like. This is Marvel 2-in-1 number 75.
Nice. So
Thing in the Avengers.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
So we're still into that would have been still in, or was that beyond Project Pegasus, or
that was after the Project Pegasus stuff? Yeah.
That was so. Project Pegasus was early on in that series, wasn't it?
It was in the 40s and 50s, I think.
Oh, okay.
50s, 60s. So it wasn't too far before that.
Oh, okay.
That's issue number, not years, folks. Just in case you're translating that,
which would have come out in which came out in the 70s. So
exactly, thank you. wibbly wobbly timey whiny.
Indeed, indeed. So it was Thing and the Avengers.
Yep, yep. Nice. Had them fighting against Blastar and Annihilus and the Super Adaptoid. Oh,
sweet.
Man.
Nice.
It was like
Thing to my Avengers. How'd that
happen? Yeah. And they were playing poker. Oh, it was cool.
That's awesome.
I just drove home how much I missed the Thing. Like he was my first real my hero, my real popular hero, the one that I liked the most.
Oh, cool.
Marvel 2-in-1 is the comic that got me into comics and Marvel comics especially at the time. So
wow. Well, I mean that was a great thing to come into Marvel Comics with, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, and the Project Pegasus stuff is a great example of that, because it gave you this sort of thread of the kind of crazy super science that was going on in Marvel, and then you had all these different characters coming into it. And yeah. you would get, like, he would team up with a character, but that didn't mean they were completely gone the next issue, because there was an ongoing story going on in that book. And they were the ones that kind of invented the, we're going to have an ongoing story in a team-up book.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, yeah. And so it was like,
I guess this stuff was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So you,
Crown and oh.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember.
Perez.
I remember, yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Indeed.
So,
indeed.
Yeah. You know, you buy back issues because you know you're going to like them, and you're almost mm-hmm. never disappointed.
Well, yeah.
That's unlike, true. Sadly, that's to say, most of the current stuff.
New stuff. Yeah.
Well,
they're just not writing for me, and that's, you know, that's fine. I'm not what's popular
well,
anymore. That's
Thing
okay.
is one of those characters that he's a happy character for the most yeah. part. I mean, once they got through him being a man or a monster back in, you know, his early incarnations,
yeah,
you know, and he just kind of owned being the Thing. It was kind of, he was fun.
Once
know?
He got
and
to that acceptance
fun,
stage, yeah,
fun in
yeah.
comics seems to be kind of a bad thing. So I don't know. I know, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
how about you, Darren?
Oh, I'm reading still lots of Magic stuff right now. You know, Justice League Dark and
yep.
Demon Knights. Loving those two.
Yeah.
Still loving Aquaman, even though, as you say, it takes 5 seconds to read.
Yeah, but you know, it's pretty.
It's very pretty.
So they need to.
I like some of the new characters a lot.
Because Yvonne's moving on to Justice League, so they got to replace him with another artist that's going to make it pretty.
I know.
He was going to Justice League.
Yes, he's going to Justice League. So, at the same time, they're going to feature Aquaman as kind of the leader of the team, it seems. So there you go.
Interesting.
So,
interesting. That, actually, that makes sense. It's a nice piece of visual continuity as well.
It is. It is.
It's
so,
destroyed all over again.
I know, right?
And Vibe's coming back, baby.
Vibe's coming back, and apparently someone says that he's Reverb's lover, or sorry, not Reverb.
That would be really weird. I don't think the DCU is ready for gay incest just
awkward.
Yet.
Awkward. Oh, yeah. Oh, now that will be a hell of a USA Today headline.
Sorry, folks. I've apparently been paying too much attention to the drinking game tonight. no, Bunker. Bunker's boyfriend, apparently, is what I've heard, has been quasi.
So what? All the Hispanic superheroes have to be gay?
All the Hispanic gay boys hate each other.
Oh, except for Blue Beetle so far.
Except for Blue
Beetle. Yeah.
Jaime, great.
For now.
Okay.
They have a club, you know.
They're going to be like, Jaime's no homo. That will be.
No one can get through that armor in the back end. You know, they're past it. So, you know.
That brings whole new meaning to the phrase, the reach.
Yeah.
You know, right? he's got all those funky arm attachments too. You'd think he'd be perfect for it.
You're gonna have to have a safe word if you're dating Blue Beetle. So
that's true.
a little Guy Gardner Warrior action there for you, and I don't
know.
Think that's weird, so, but beyond that, you know, I'm reading stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like it anymore, I'm not buying it anymore. So, you know, I'm not buying as many as I did, you know, obviously at the get-go, but I didn't expect to be.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I expected I would still read a couple. I'm waiting for Wonder Woman to finish up this arc, which it kind of sort of did and kind of opened up a new arc at the end with a certain Boom Tube,
yes.
which was... Apparently, everyone freaked out about that. I was like, that's what you're freaking out about? It's Okay.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
It is, but it's...
I see it as them kind of tying the Olympian gods with those gods. Kind of that they are related, and we'll get to another War of the Gods story away. But in a different way, in a way that these gods are, it's determined that all the deities are kind of related and on the same level. Not that they're all fighting all the time. So at least that's my hope. I'd like to see Wonder Woman be the same Wonder Woman that she is in Justice League or vice versa, because that seems to be two different characters.
There's actually an interesting point on that. You know how we just and this kind of gets cleared up in Green Lantern Zero. And admittedly, I am way behind on reading the Green Lantern series. But I did read the Zero issue because I knew it wasn't dealing with the current storyline. Mm-hmm. And
the one with the Saudi Arabian.
He's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit. Okay.
He's from Detroit. And actually it was an interesting issue. But the you know, we got a little Amanda Waller in there as well. And
it's good.
So exactly. And because like I say, I'm kind of digging new Waller. But
Waller on Jenny Craig.
Here's the way to think about it. And spoilers for those who may be behind on Justice League, but
okay.
There's your spoiler space. In the last issue, Green Lantern decided that he was done with the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he left the league.
Yep.
And basically that's where we follow into the Green Lantern series. In this Zero issue, they make a mention of the, you know, we heard from Green Lantern since he left. And you realize that basically, like, you know, he's had no time to be back and forth with the league since that series started. So the Green Lantern series has been a bit further along than the timeline of Justice League. So at least that's what they've decided now.
Yeah.
Right, because if you'll remember, there was a lot of once the Justice League time, the Justice League storyline came to the current timeline after the first arc, a lot of people were saying, but he seems very different than the way he seems in this, and John's explanation for it, and one that I agree with, is that you tend to, you know, the Justice League are his buddies, they're the guys he hangs out with, and Sinestro and the guys in the Corps are the people he works with. And you act a bit differently around your buddies than you do with the people you work with. And totally true.
Really? Well, maybe that's what I'm doing wrong.
Some people do, Scott. Some people do.
Oh.
Believe me, I can't sit there with the people in my office and say, oh, someone said Saga three times, take a drink.
Yeah, it's not going to fly.
And so... Anyway, so I'm wondering, you know, does how many other books fall into that same sort of territory?
Well, I don't know. It just seems
and I don't know, and I'm not, you know, because again, what we've seen in Wonder Woman has thus far, there hasn't been a lot of sort of space left in between, right? Because issue,
there's no break for her to go off and do anything.
Exactly. There's no sort of, well, it's been a few days since we talked, and here we are. You know, every issue picks up where the last one left off. So there's kind of no gaps in that storyline, and you know,
she's been protecting this pregnant woman for the last 12 issues.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying. So, you know, are there gaps with the way she acts and that sort of thing? Absolutely. And, you know, how much of that is just due to the fact that, hey, it's two different dudes writing it, and they're letting Azzarello do his thing, and hey, he's doing his thing really nicely.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
Yeah, right. You know. How much of it is that? And admittedly, it's probably a part of that. And you kind of are going to let shit fall where it may, to allow for that, because that's why you put a Brian Azzarello on Wonder Woman.
Right.
So the lesson
because
is,
you shake it up.
Don't read JLA.
No,
that's what you're saying.
I wouldn't
right?
say
it's
that.
It's not the worst.
I wouldn't
lesson.
Say that.
It's not the worst.
I would
lesson.
Say
that's
in,
what I pulled out of there. Sorry,
it's not the worst thing someone could take from that, but no, it isn't. It's no, but it's, you know what? It's people are acting like this is a new fucking thing. Okay. Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, JLA is different from the solo books that the characters are in. Oh, you mean kind of like it's been always?
Yeah. Well, I expect the continuity to be off. I didn't expect them to say, oh, you know, this happens between Wonder Woman 7 and 8. I never expected that. Sure, what I expected was the characters to kind of sound somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so silly.
I know, right? And so, you know, sometimes when that's distinctly off, I'm like, really?
And I think it's easier with some characters because, to me, Batman and Superman seem very consistent with what we're seeing in their books. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what amazes
Aquaman does.
You get Batman write over 5 to 8 books in a month. Why can't you get someone who's only in 2, right?
So but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Batman's probably easier to nail down.
Well, true.
You know, this is why there's always Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. Hey, now, Wonder Woman is a perennially misunderstood character.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's got different interpretations of her, so...
Well, and that's very true. Whereas the interpretation of Batman, even though there are many different interpretations of Batman, but the sort of mainline DCU continuity version of Batman has been fairly consistent over several years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's all
variations on the theme.
Yeah, it is, absolutely, right? And same with Superman. So, yeah. So it makes sense to me that those ones are sort of the easy ones. Aquaman's very consistent in that he's sort of, you know, seems to have a little bit of disdain for the land dwellers, and you know, he's kind of got his thing going on, and basically he brooks no crap.
Yes.
Right. And so
neither
I think
does the wife. So
yeah, absolutely. So I think he's very consistent. I also think that Flash is very consistent. We've already talked about sort of the back and forth between the versions of Hal Jordan. You know, in the main Green Lantern book, he spent the whole time, you know, basically shackled to Sinestro. So.
Kinky.
It makes sense that that when he's a little more aloof when he's hanging out with the JLA, so I can't really say I have an issue with him that way. So Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman's the only real wild card there.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Azzarello's take on her and that whole book in general, it's sort of out there on the edge of where Wonder Woman generally is.
Oh, very much. Yeah. Very much.
So, I mean, for a guy who's trying to spin a traditional superhero yarn, there's only so much of that he could take over before it's just not going to work within the framework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And again, I think that it's putting her in a different set of circumstances. So we can say that it's the voice is different, but the set of circumstances is very different. And again, you're going to behave differently when everything you're doing is dealing with gods versus where, you know, and sort of all the stuff that the gods do and that
versus
sort of thing.
Cheetah and Giganta,
right?
And Dr. Psycho
and hanging out with other superheroes and fighting super baddies, you know,
taking the minutes of the meetings,
yes,
being
cookies,
a good secretary,
like a
baking
good superheroine would,
yeah.
But so to me, you know, again, it kind of, and I'm not trying to believe me, I'm not trying to be an apologist for it. I really am not, you know, because I'll be the first guy to break balls on Geoff Johns. You know, everyone's heard what I've said about Aquaman. You know, about the first 16 issues being the best 4 issues of Aquaman ever. So. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's friggin' slow.
Yeah.
You know, land the plane. It's a good thing it's pretty. Come on. It's not bad. It's very good. It's just that it takes forever to get anywhere. There's nothing, you know?
I agree with you there.
And that's a pacing choice, and that's a creative decision, whatever. But it's slow.
When Johns finally kicks the bucket, Kirby is going to walk up to him and slap him silly.
Exactly.
I'm like, are you kidding me with this?
He's going to say, bitch, it took you 10 issues to do that.
That's 16 pages worth of story there. What are you doing? Seriously.
What are you doing? Stan Lee stole all my rights in less time. What are you doing?
I'd have room for a backup feature here. Come on. Smarten the fuck up.
There's Spin Fang Foom. You got room for a sea monster here. Where is he?
So,
where's Cthulhu, for Christ's sake?
Oh, my.
Wait a second.
What's Dinda Dio doing there? Yeah,
seriously.
Oh, sorry. Did I shift into Didio mode? I'm sorry.
So I don't think he's going to the same place as the other guys.
Probably not.
Then again, it's probably pushing it to think the Jones
all
right. is.
Send all complaints to Joe Quesada at...
Indeed. Hey, yeah. So, anyway... I've been reading a few things too.
Oh,
yeah. I picked up the
Everybody Poops Does Not Count, Paul. That's the requirement.
What? It totally counts.
So I picked up Showcase Presents Rip Hunter Time Master.
Oh yeah, Master.
As you guys know, I love me some time travel stories.
Yeah, for sure.
And there are a lot of really cool time travel stories in here. However, one. Whatever. Problem it has, and you know this is one of my frustrations when it comes to time travel, is that time travel is not a place.
It's
what?
Right? Yeah. So it spend, you know, the time travel is a device that gets them into the Old West or prehistoric times or ancient Roman times or et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it is very much, you know, there is a setting and they happen to get there through time travel. And the thing I really love about later, you know, and the Time Masters series by Bob Wayne and Lou Schiner with art by Art Thibert is the greatest example of it is that they played a lot with the, you know, the whole time paradox kind of thing. And so this is still, it's lots of fun. You know, it's that great sort of Silver Age, you know, checker box on the top of the book kind of, you know, it feels very much like Challenges of the Unknown type stories to me. And I love that stuff too. So it, you know, really reads like that. So I was reading that and it's great because, you know, you're right. Some of the stuff, hey, it's not quite as fun as it used to be. And so this is a nice palate cleanser. As I work between some series. Also, Jeff Lemire's The Underwater Welder. Wow. Just wow. I picked up a hard copy also of Lost Dogs when I picked that up.
I still need to read that.
Oh, Lost Dogs is so good.
It'll tear your balls out, man. It's just...
Oh, Jesus,
yeah, Scott.
That's painful.
next time we see each other, I'm going to give you my copy of Underwater Welder to read. It will do.
Yeah,
it's powerful stuff.
Yeah,
man.
I totally meant to pick one up at Fan Expo there, but it's spaced out on it for some reason.
Wow.
Speaking of tearing your balls out, Suicide Squad issue 0. There
you go. Yeah, totally. there's balls there. Yeah.
There was balls there.
You know. Indeed.
Oh my.
Yeah. hey. So anyway, the Lemire's Underwater Welder, it's fantastic, and it's, you know, what I like is that you know, I'm loving the stuff that he's doing in the DCU. I'm loving what he's doing in Animal Man. I loved what he did with Frankenstein. I love what he's doing. You know, Justice League Dark is vastly improved under his his authorship.
Yes,
indeed. And it, you know, it's become a really cool book, and I'm really loving
Dr. Mist, the badass.
Yes,
people.
Exactly. But I know.
I never
right?
thought anyone would say that.
Those are words you never thought
I'm
you'd
very
hear together.
Serious, Dr. Mist. The
He's
badass.
Right. There he totally is because I got caught up on that one too. But. What I love is that he structured his deal such that in such a way that it would allow for, and you know, hey, it took a toll on him. I remember talking to him the weekend after he finished Underwater Welder, and he looked tired. And the reality is that you know, and that's why he had Matt Kent come in and do a couple of fill-ins on Sweet Tooth. Mm-hmm. But you know, so here's a guy who is writing two mainstream DCU books, mm-hmm. writing and drawing a Vertigo book, and somewhere in there, he also managed to finish off The Underwater Welder, and I tell you, it suffers not for him being busy. It's a beautiful piece of work, and it will go down as it should in the Jeff Lemire pantheon of fantastic stories. So I read that one and got caught up on a bunch of DCU stuff, and just been working my way through the stack, as it were. And but I got to say, the real standout for me was The Underwater Welder. And I reread Lost Dogs because it's great. And and it's interesting, reading the two of them together, because Lost Dogs, Scott, am I correct in that being his first work?
Yes, that was his Zurich.
Right. That's right. And so, of course, Tales from Essex County came after that.
Yep.
And it's amazing to see how his work has evolved. But I tell you, even at its rawest in that first work, it was.
And it still, is.
It's very raw, but it's powerful. Exactly. And
Canadian
so,
Kirby right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna say
he is.
Put it out there.
And so. I'm a huge fan of his work ever since reading the Tales from Essex County, because it just blows me away. And he was the first graphic novel to be selected in the CBC's Canada Read series, and deservedly so. And he was eliminated early because these people are like, oh, we don't like pictures. But to have gotten that far with a bunch of literary snobs is pretty impressive.
True.
So those are some things that I've been reading lately, and still working through the pile. But a couple of other honorable mentions, and this is only because I haven't really had a chance to dig into them, is Tim Seeley and Mike Norton's Revival.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna mention. That's a great book.
Talk about it. Talk about it for a second, Matt.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
And it has great art. That's about all I can say about it right now, really. I mean, I don't want to give too much about the story away.
Yeah, and I mean, I've only read the first issue, and I've got the second. I think the third comes out this week.
I think you're right.
But here's what's really impressive, is that Norton's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also doing the It Girl thing.
Oh, that's another great book.
And so I read the first issues of both of those back to back, and it's like, wow, that is a marked difference in tone.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say about Revival again, that first issue is quite the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to reading further on that. But so lots of good stuff coming out, and not all of it comes out from the big two. There's other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess we should say that there is new Young Justice and Green Lantern will be starting in the States on September 29th on Cartoon Network.
Nice. Check your DVRs in case they change the name again.
Yeah, I know. And I believe Arrow is starting in October on the CW. Nope. Sorry. I am watching that because John Barrowman, as someone,
I'm all over
there.
I'm all over it too. It's
I'm there.
And you got guys who have worked on Green Arrow in the past. You got Guggenheim. You got Andrew Kreisberg working on it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I just can't bring myself to care.
Yep. So Matt, what else?
First season goes through, and
if I was there, I would punch you in the throat.
In the throat, Matt. What else have you been reading? We didn't really get to. We didn't really get to talk about your ones.
See, you're looking at my pile right now.
It's got a pile.
Yeah. Oh, The Shade just wrapped up.
It did.
Mixed feelings about the book as a whole, but I was glad that it came out.
What did you think of the various artists that worked on it? What was the stuff that really worked for you?
I like the Darwin Cook issue.
Yeah, me too.
I think I like Fraser Irving, but I don't think it worked in that book.
I feel the same way, but it's some of my favorite Fraser Irving artwork.
Yeah, but it just muddled the story, I think.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that. Yeah, I feel that way too. But it was some of my favorite of his artwork, because I just think that anytime you see Fraser Irving on a book, it's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was perhaps in a part of the story where clarity was most needed.
Yeah, exactly. And they finally revealed the Shade's origin, which was cool. It's Gene High.
Radioactive spider.
Yes, yeah. Bit by a radioactive spider.
And every time they do a Shade movie, they're going to show us that damn spider again.
That's right. Jesus. It beats the Phantom Stranger movie that we're going to have silver coins falling everywhere. So, you know.
I'm telling you, he's going to get
bitten. So Phantom Stranger is Martha Wayne? Really?
Okay. He's going to get bitten by that spider, and then the pearls will fall. Yeah.
Oh, not good.
So what else, Matt?
All the Valiant books are awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would turn out good.
I've enjoyed every one of them so far. Surprisingly, my favorite seems to be Bloodshot at this point.
That is surprising.
And then in order, I'd rank them Bloodshot, Archer and Armstrong, and I think Harbinger and Exo Manowar are pretty much tied.
Exo Manowar.
But they're both good. They're both good.
You know, I haven't really read much of any of that stuff. I mean, ever. I never read any of the Valiant stuff when it was coming out, because it was out just as I was getting back into comics, and I was at the time, it's like I'm reading Legion and Titans and nothing else. And then the loose leaf Who's Who came out.
Those bastards.
And I started reading the histories of different characters, and it's like, ooh, that story sounds kind of cool. I got to check that out. And so then I ended up, you know, collecting a whole bunch of series. But I started out, you know, I saw that issue where Block gets axed in the 5 year later run, and so it was like, I'm gonna read Legion, and oh, I bet they still have Titans coming out, and so that would have been the issue just before, a bit before Titans Hunt, when we had the Royal Flesh game showing up, so it must have been a fill-in issue, and so it was just as Tom Grummett was coming onto the book. And so I was only going to collect those series. And so, yeah, all the Valiant stuff was coming out at the time, but I was, you know, very focused on the one thing. And then I got back into some Marvel stuff and some other independent things. But Valiant was kind of finishing its run by that point. So, and I never read any of it. So the how does the new stuff stack up compared to the old?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I don't really know how to answer it compared to the old stuff, but it's good.
Yep.
And it's... The old stuff seemed to have a tighter inter-book continuity.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously they're just establishing stuff right now, so I'm sure that's all going to be lined up in the future. And... They're starting to reintroduce more characters. I think they just brought back the Ninjak in XL number 5.
Oh, yeah, Ninjak.
And the Shadow Man is going to be out in November, I believe.
Yeah.
Is he bringing Aerosmith with him?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the original run that you don't need to hunt down, Paul.
Yeah,
oh, I have it if you want to read it. I've got that.
Shocker.
I need to now.
Yeah.
Yes, Shadow Man teams up with Aerosmith.
Mm-hmm. Something you said there, Matt, about the how the interbook continuity was tighter then. Do you think that's because overall that was something that's just the way it was done then? And now in everything, we've kind of moved away from that.
I don't know, because it seemed to be like it was almost a novelty back then, because that was the early 90s when pretty much obviously like Batman books and Spider-Man books and X-Men books, they were all crossed over with each other. Everything else seemed to exist in its own little world until all those massive crossovers started around, well, like, when was the Infinity Gauntlet?
Whoa, that would have been...
Oh, hold on. Let's get in the Wayback Machine. Hang on.
But, like, but no, see, because... Yeah, 90s. That sounds about
yeah,
right.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I would have been working at the collectible store, and there were more Infinite Gauntlet holo trading cards than I ever wanted to see again in my life.
but I just mean in that, you know, this was in a more artist driven time. So in story wise, I think there was a sort of a much stronger editorial hand in that it was, you know, we were still sort of digging out from post crisis, and everything was figuring out how do the old stories fit into the current timeline, and so there was still very much a we have to explain it. You know, if we do something different, we have to explain it in story. And now that seems to be less the case because the attitude now is, well, we don't need to explain it. We'll just rewrite it for the trade.
Yeah.
And you know,
never happens these days, does it?
Oh, it's happened plenty of times just this week.
Oh, totally, it has.
Yeah, and so that's kind of been the things, and it goes that. That's nothing new. It dates back at the very least to the Infinite Crisis hardcover. Right. But you know, the idea
didn't use that gun. Sorry.
The idea that whereas before it used to be that you make a change to something in continuity, and now it's a retcon that you have to explain in context, right? And now it just seems kind of the lazy way out to just say, fuck it, just rewrite the trade. We never said that. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
This is not the plot twist you're looking for.
Yeah, and so I wonder if it's that there is less interest in staying nailed down to a line-wide continuity. I don't know. I just wonder if that's, you know, because there was the whole backlash, you know, not that long ago of the, continuity hampers good storytelling, and I don't disagree with that. It does to a certain degree, but
only when you have years and years of it to try and fight through. That's the advantage that Valiant had was there was six titles, whatever it was, and it was brand spanking new, so you could be intertwined it, and give that sense of universe building, right?
We're building it right now. There's no sort of, well, this is the way it happened pre-crisis, this is the way it happened now. And you're
Multiversity.
Well, hey, whatever. If it ever comes out.
Right? Not that anyone will be able to understand it once it does come out.
Oh, so. Now. We'll explain it to you, Darren.
Thank you. Because
wow, that sounded much more. This sounded much more condescending than I intended it to. I do apologize.
Why start now?
Oh snap! No, seriously, I didn't mean it to come out quite that way.
No, there's two different Grant Morrisons. There's the one that wrote, you know, JLA. Which I loved dearly. And then there's the one that I'm like, what kind of Spirit Quest Peyote orgy did he go on before he put this on paper? So, you know.
Hey, look at it this way. At least he's a writer that has a couple of gears.
I know, right? And I respect him for that. I do. Just because I'm not, like, getting into it does not mean that someone out there does not like it. So,
absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, to me, the... I'm not sort of a super stickler continuity wise. I just think that if you're going to rewrite the trade, it's kind of a bit of a slap in the face to the people who are supporting you month in, month out on your monthly books.
Yeah.
Especially when you profess to say that is the audience which you are most interested in.
And especially when the rewrite comes directly from criticism you got from the original book.
Well, yeah, and that's really and it ends up being kind of the monthly customer is the one that we're most interested in, and it's like, then don't tell us that the books that we paid $3 a pop for are the first draft.
Yeah, thank you.
Have it be done.
I'm just saying.
You don't get time. You don't get a chance to fix it after.
I could handle fixing some errors with colors.
Sure.
Sometimes.
But or, what it used to
editorial issues. But when what you changes the story
exactly. And you know what they used to have to do with that kind of thing was they had to figure out, well, we said this originally and now we've said this, so what's our explanation for it? And they had to actually write their way out of it, and mm-hmm. that's something that's disappeared.
And anyone want to bring
no
back
accountability
DC Challenge?
Anymore, damn it.
Bring what's back that? DC Challenge.
Oh, DC Challenge.
The dark times, people.
Oh my. Yeah,
it was a good idea because you know they came up that when they were drunk at a meeting, right? You know, you understand that's how that came up. So it's like a big practical joke on everyone. Let's see what
it's because
this asshole right way out of this.
They're sitting in the meeting and someone said, "Hey, remember when we wrote the Reflecto saga, and then they were hammered
as jackrabbits." Yes,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So, there we go. So. Because it always comes back to the Legion.
It does.
There we have it.
Who I don't think appeared in DC Challenge now that I think about it.
Well, weren't they lucky?
Boy, were they.
Because, bit of a mess.
That was a horrible, horrible series. So, anyway. Just to show you, I will read almost anything. So.
Dude, I've been reading the Rip Hunter Time Master Showcase. Look who you're talking to.
But no. They're doing a showcase about Showcase soon.
Which is a great idea.
They're doing a showcase on the Showcase stories.
Holy Inception Batman.
Yeah, serious? Yeah, so showcase, what really was the scoop with that?
It's just another format of the Showcase. It's coming out, black and white. I'm not sure. I didn't look to see what it was included. It was the earlier issue in Showcase.
Yeah, so Showcase presents Showcase Volume 1.
Which sounds redundant.
So DC's legendary tryout title is reprinted from the start for the first time. So it's issues 1 to 21.
Wow.
So includes the debuts of the Silver Age Flash, Challenges of the Unknown, and Adam Strange. So if you have the Flash Showcase...
You don't need that one.
You don't need that part of it. And if you have the Challenges of the Unknown Showcase,
you don't need that.
You don't need that one.
Is there an Adam Strange?
I was just gonna ask about that. I'm not sure that there has been.
That's how they're gonna get you.
I don't think there is.
That's how they're gonna get you the drive-through. If you're an Adam Strange fan, there you go.
Does it have those weird licensed issues?
It just says 1 to 21, so I'm not sure what that entailed.
Wasn't there a James Bond one?
Really?
Somewhere? Or am I thinking...
You're high as a kite, sir.
There is indeed... there was indeed back in 2007, whether or not it's still in print. And here's the thing, is, a couple... Like, the Challengers ones, it might not still be in print.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the status is of any of that stuff, because I've got like Flash 1 through 3 and I've got Challengers Volume 1, and I know there's a Volume 2 out there, and I've had trouble finding it. And I looked, Darren, for you, you asked me a while back, and I was looking for the Wonder Woman showcases.
I found that one, believe it or not.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Believe it or not, I hunted down a copy of that, believe it or not.
But that stuff's hard to find, right? And
it was.
So,
it was very difficult to find.
So this is what I'm saying. So, it could just be that. But so in 2007, Adam Strange was in Showcase 17 to 19. And then issues 53 to 84 of Mystery in Space.
Yeah, he went over there. Yeah.
So, that could be the case. Or it could just be like hey, if you want a whole bunch of cool characters, try this. And that sort of thing. So I'm glad that they're continuing to do the Showcase line. Because I love that stuff. I mean,
the Showcases were the one thing at Dragon Con. There was this one dealer who had a whole bunch of Showcases. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go by Monday. Because Monday, I can load up the backpack and leave.
Yeah.
I'm not carrying a whole bunch of Showcases with me all day while I'm in costume and yada, yada, yada. So I go there Monday. There are like only 5 left. The dude had like 2 sides of a huge 7-foot display covered with Showcases. There were 5 left, so I managed to get the Blackhawks Eclipso. Nice. And, you know, all the ones no one wanted, apparently.
I didn't know there was an Eclipso one. I have
there's the Black... an Eclipso showcase. Yes,
I have
sir,
the Blackhawk one, and it's fantastic.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's fun. Yet. It's just fun.
And I think I got Superman Family or Superman number 2 or something like that. But, yeah, they were sold out.
Well, the Superman
Meanwhile, the
Family
Marvel
ones,
stuff
I think they...
not moving.
Yeah, the Superman Family ones start off with, like, Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane books. Because it's long before you get to the actual Superman family
Superman
book.
Family.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, that's where you're going to find that stuff. So I think it alternates between, you know, here's an issue of Jimmy Olsen, here's an issue of Lois Lane. And, you know, so it's Jimmy taking some pictures and getting into wacky adventures. And
wacky,
Lois
wacky.
And Lois trying to figure out Superman's secret identity.
Again. But you know what? I would say this to dealers. If you're going to a con, bring showcase.
Yeah.
Bring showcase trades. There's
yeah,
not enough
know,
of you bringing it, and there's not enough of them when you bring them. So bring more.
I love my shelf full of them. And, and showcases tend to be some of my favorite reading because it's, as I say, sometimes it's just a nice palate cleanser. But yes. So showcase issue 1, the Firefighters, issue 2, Kings of the Wild, issue 3, the Frogmen, issue 4, Ribbit. Of course, the Flash, the Manhunters, the Secret of the Sorcerer's Box, Ultivac is loose. Then Flash didn't come back until issue 8.
Yep. Wow, really?
Okay. No, yeah. Was that the Mirror Master one?
I believe so, yes. Then you had 2 issues of Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. We know she got her own book. The Day the Earth Blew Up, The Menace of the Ancient Vials. Then the Flash came back for a couple of issues. The Space Ranger, Adventures on Other Worlds. Then Space Adam Stranger, Ranger. Adam Strange. And issues 20 and 21 are actually found in the book I've been reading recently. Showcase presents Rip Hunter, Time Master.
Oh, well, sweet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, right after Rip Hunter came some guy named Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
For 3 Hal issues, Jordan. Followed by 2 issues of Rip Hunter, Time Master, followed by 3 issues of Sea Devils.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Nice.
And then
those Sea Devil covers are nice, though.
Later, we had the Atom come in and then Metal Men. Showcase was cool, man.
Showcase was some of the best stuff out there at the time.
Seriously.
So.
Well, it was just the way that you had a lot of characters really got...
they got their starts there. It's a good anthology series.
They really got showcased there.
Uh-huh. They were showcased.
Yeah. So, anyway, you can't go wrong with the showcases, so buy more showcases. Sure. Dealers, take more showcases. Darren's right.
Please.
You're missing opportunities.
I would have spent triple the amount of money had you had the stock available. There you go. Instead, I went to a t-shirt place and bought more t-shirts.
And one of the first showcase issues that I bought was issue 94. Scott knows what that is.
Doom Patrol. Beast.
The new Doom Patrol. That's right.
Doom Patrol. Oh, I was guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Beast.
Okay. 94, 95, 96.
Yeah. Never heard of them.
Yeah.
No, stop.
And somewhere I also have an issue of the Jason's Quest issue. So it's not in good shape. But I was like, ooh, it's an early showcase issue. Must have.
Woo!
Anyway, anyone got anything else to add?
I think
I
think we're good.
All right, then. Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join the conversation on the forum. It is forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Facebook. You just type in facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com and it takes you right to our Facebook page where you can discuss things and find out things like the 99-cent Legends sale.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all of these things, you can head to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we will see you all next week.
Shiver my timbers.